Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Powerful, powerful relationships, powerful positions, powerful life. Power, 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 power. So when I started thinking about this women's conference that I spoke at like back in 2012, like 10 o'clock at night, and it was IHOP. We some classy people, you know? So we're going out to IHOP. I saw the pastors kind of whispering to each other. I didn't really know what was going on. A little while later, these two girls walk in. They come in, and they join us. They sit down. I'm like, cool, come on. Have a good time. I get back from the conference, and David says, how was the conference? I'm like, well, the conference was cool, but I met this girl. I don't know. It's just there was something like kind of clicked. I don't know if we're supposed to work together. I don't know what it is. He's like, okay. I'm like, well, she started following me on Twitter, so that's cool. That was May. In August, we're getting ready to have this women's event. It was Couture for a Cause. It was at the Earth City campus, and she DMs me and says, oh, so sorry. I'm going to miss your event. And I'm like, David, that's that girl. Can I get approved to pay for her travel if she will come in and volunteer for the event? And that could be like a secret undercover interview. Would that be all right? And he's like, yeah, sure, do what you want. So I invite her, and she comes in and she volunteers for the event. Let me pause that story and take you back to the women's conference in May. So this women's conference I'm at in May, what actually happened, the reason she showed up is she was not on staff. She's a volunteer in college at the church. And while she's a volunteer, she helps set up the whole women's conference. She takes off work. She sets up this after party. She's really excited to be with her friends. She buys a new outfit. She's a college student, doesn't have money, buys an outfit to wear to the after party, and her phone rings. It's the pastor who says, I'm out to dinner with the lady who talked at the conference, and we both forgot our wallets. There's a set of keys to my house in my office. Will you go get my keys, go to the house and get my wallet, and bring it up here to IHOP? Because we don't want her thinking we brought her here so that she could pay the check. She's like, but the after party, but I planned it, but all my friends are, but I worked really hard, but I just got back in town. Okay, I'll do it. So she does it, we meet, and then she's off. And when she DMs me in August, I didn't know that she had already gotten the internship that she had dreamed about getting her whole life. She was in Hollywood, living in L.A., in the guest house of a public relations guy that she was interning for, and she was meeting celebrities and movie stars every single day, getting all this attention. It's super high profile, and then some weird church from the Midwest says, hey, you've never been here. You want to come volunteer? And she turns to her boss and she says, I'm sorry I have to cut my internship short, but there's this church in the Midwest that needs some volunteers, so I'm going to have to go do the Lord's work and do what he asked me to do. Now, I know this probably doesn't make sense to you and you don't really get it, and I'm not even sure you know who I'm talking about. So I brought a picture taken from that first trip of that event at that women's event. And Morgan, that was taken. So Austin, Morgan comes in town with her brother because she's smart. Austin is our assistant. He is busy with the women's event. And I say, Austin, this is the girl that could potentially replace you. I know you're busy with a lot of stuff, but if you could work in hosting them while they're in town, I need your help. He's like, fine, I'll help. Little did he know, little did I know, when she didn't go get the keys to her pastor's house. She went and picked up the keys to her future. In some seemingly irrelevant errand that took her away from what she wanted to do. You see, so many times in life, power positions in the flesh and power positions in the spirit look so completely different. You know, she was in powerful LA. I mean, I don't know how much money she could be making there. But what I do know is I didn't have it in my head that she was going to marry Austin, because you know how your kids are. They purposefully don't like the people that you like for them. So, like, if there had been a hint of that, it wouldn't have worked out. It was God. God was really, God used me. so that Austin could meet his wife. Acts 6 today is where we're going to be. I'm using the Passion Translation for this. It's the story of Stephen. I'll give you a little background on what's going on. We're going to start in verse 1. But what's going on is Jesus has come to earth. He has died. He has been resurrected. He spent some time on earth. He went back to heaven. This is just a number of days after that. Jesus Christ Ministries International has just been formed. They are growing like crazy. And the people are really unhappy with the fact that they're not getting the attention that they think they need. Which if you're a business owner, a manager, you're running anything, I just want to let you know that in times of growth, there are always unhappy people. That's a way to know that you're growing. It's okay. It's okay if you're not making everybody happy. Everybody's not happy, so the disciples get together and they go, hey, here's what we got to do. We need to get 7 people. There's only 12 of us. So we need to get 7 people, and it says in verse 3, here's the qualities that they need to possess. They got to be honorable. I gotta be full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna pick these 7 people so that we, the 12, we can preach, we can pray, we can prophesy, we can devote ourselves to prayer, we can devote ourselves to the word. And I'm sure as the people are hearing this, the 7 that are gonna be chosen to like distribute bread to the widows and handle the unhappy people and do the administration, they're like, but we're gonna get a chance to preach too, right? And they're like, no, you're gonna give bread to the widows and handle the unhappy people and do the administration. All right. So in verse 5, it says Stephen was one of the 7. He wasn't even like the one, didn't get the job, didn't win the process. He was one of just a bunch of people. We don't like being one of a bunch of people. Like if we're a manager, then if everybody else is a manager, then we want to be a lead manager. Or we're going to need to be a shift manager, a department manager, or the senior department manager, or the regional senior department manager. And well, then he's a vice president, make me a vice president. There's lots of vice presidents. I want to be senior vice president. There's lots of senior vice president. I want to be executive senior global. Oof. Like our flesh gets a little out of control. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Y'all aren't being honest yet, so let me work on y'all. Have you ever been to the airport and they start calling people to get on the plane and they're like, we're going to take the platinum, double diamond, double eagle, triple bullion, gold people to... Everybody's always trying to level up, right? Everybody wants to level up. Everybody wants to be special. The thing about Stephen, he could preach the paint off the walls. He could preach Peter under the table. He could out-prophesy Luke. He could out-recite the Torah Mark. He knows all of this. And yet, he's going to hand out bread? What's crazy is, it's not my opinion. So I went ahead, I brought a picture of the commentary of the Bible. So if you guys would go ahead and put that up, because I don't want you to think this is Nicole's opinion of the scripture. This is actually the commentary in the Passion Translation. And in the yellow it says, although he was a powerful minister of the word, Stephen was humble and he accepted the task of serving. You see, he knew that he was not going to be limited by his position. You know, John Maxwell says there's 5 levels of leadership. If you've never read that book, it's an incredible read. It's worth the time. There's a lot of junk books out there. This is a good one. It says the bottom level that doesn't really count is position. It's title. You don't get power in the position. You get power if you submit to the position. So look at how this works out for Stephen in verse 8. He's not restricted because of his position, because of his humility to take his position. He's loosed. It says Stephen, who is a man full of grace and supernatural power, he performed many astonishing signs and wonders and mighty miracles. I'm talking about some chick comes in, she's a widow, she's walking in limping. He's like, baby, you're limping. Do you want to walk out leaping? Can I pray for you? She walks in like this and she walks out like this. Come on, this is a big deal. Talking people walking in with leprosy and walking out whole. People walking in paralyzed and walking out on their own 2 legs. I'm talking about not keeping revival inside of the 4 walls of Faith Church. Revival does not happen in a building. Revival happens in a person. And just because you're not a preacher, and just because you're not on staff, and just because you're not whoever the devil told you you're not, you are the revival. The revival doesn't stay here. The revival resides here. And it's our job to time. It's time. It's time to not believe the position brings a power, but the submission to the position brings a power. But that is the hard part. There's this preacher riding a taxi in New York City. He's talking about getting people saved. That's what he does, how he works. And the taxi driver says, "Man, that's awesome. I get a lot of people saved too, probably more than you." Preacher's like, "Well, how you do that?" He said, "People pray to God fervently in my back seat all day long." God wants to use you where you're at. How are the people at the grocery store going to get healed? How about the people at the gym? How about the people at your work? How about the people at school? How about the people in your neighborhood? Taking that position, getting that power, and taking it with you. Yeah, but I mean, I guess that was really nice for you. And Pastor Dave, I mean, he inherited a church. His dad was a pastor. I mean, that's kind of how it worked, but it's not really, like, if you knew the backstory. Because you see, when his dad was the pastor of a church, it was like 180 people in Fenton. And he wasn't just like in line to lead it. His dad was only 56 years old. He thought his dad was going to be 90 preaching. He was the worship leader. He was the guy who married people. He was the guy who buried people. He was the guy who dealt with the problems. He was the maintenance man. He was the guy who did anything that needed to be done. He's a worship leader. It snows. You call a snowplow company, right? No. Can't afford a snowplow company. You got a Jeep with a plow on it. So the worship leader gets up at 5 in the morning. He plows the church parking lot. I know this because he took his wife with him. He plows the church parking lot, and then he runs inside and leads band practice. And then as everybody's coming in for church, he's changing into a suit real quick in the back, and then he's coming out, doing his best to lead worship. Been up since 4:30. I remember when we needed to seal the asphalt parking lot because it was kind of coming apart. And so we had the money for the asphalt sealer, but we didn't have the money for the labor. He's like, "I'll do it." He couldn't watch YouTube. It wasn't around yet, but he started Googling about it. And he figured it out. But what he didn't figure out is that he was allergic to the chemical. And he got like a full body acid peel. Well, I'm sure that stuff stopped by the time he was a senior pastor and all that. No, no. I remember when we first took over the church, we couldn't afford to like give the church a facelift, but we really needed to give the church a facelift. So we could afford paint, but not labor. So we all started painting, and throughout the week, volunteers had to go back to work, and people got tired, and here it is. It's 2 a.m. on a Saturday. There's me and David and two volunteers. None of us have to preach tomorrow, but he does. But he doesn't leave until it's all done. He hasn't changed much. So we were in Florida, and it was just a couple years ago, and we were doing Tuesday night services here, sitting on our couch watching it in Florida, feeling so guilty, like, we need to be involved in this. How are we involved in this when we're in Florida taking care of this new church? How do we do this? And God speaks to him, and he says, "I want you to start a Tuesday night service in your office. Can't afford to rent the school. Do it in your office. Do it in our office." I don't know how big your office is, but our office was not very big. How are we going to do worship? We're going to stream it in on a TV and use a Sonos speaker. This is going to be so redneck. He said, "Then I'm going to preach live." To who? Who can you fit in here? This is why I love when you're involved in things early, because you can't go back to that. But I did bring you a couple of pictures so you can try and see it. And so there's like 20 people on one side of the reception desk and 20 people on another side of the reception desk, and turn around and 20 people on another side of the reception desk. It is not fancy. And I will tell you what, posting those pictures on Instagram will really slay your pride, because you're like, "No, I'm posting this on Instagram. There's 4.5 people here, but I promise you we've built a church somewhere before." I wonder why she's sitting down. I'm sitting down because I'm not trying to be pretty or professional. I'm trying to be real. Just real. Matthew 25, verse 23. I love the Amplify because it takes so many words to describe what God thinks of us when we do the dumb stuff, going to get the keys for the pastor, going to get the wallet for the pastor, going to cutting down the trees, paint the wall. What does God think of that? He said to him, well done, you upright, honorable, admirable, faithful servant. Faithful over the little. I'm going to make you ruler over much. You see, we're trying to get up here. Ugh. But power in the flesh and power in the spirit look so different. You can't be pregnant wearing last year's pants. And in case you were thinking you could, I brought a picture. And I was blonde, and you're going to see my pregnant midriff, but it's not sexy, so go ahead and put it up. Don't leave it up long. Yep, that's me. My mother-in-law so gracefully and eloquently put it, girl, you're so pregnant, you are pushing and pulling. I was pregnant everywhere. But see, I fought for that pregnancy. I had this cervical cancer thing happen, and then when I finally got pregnant, I had a miscarriage, and then I finally got pregnant again. And the goal is to be thick in the right places and thin in the right places, but stellar sexy for your man, right? So you want to rock it. You want to be cute. You want to have the right jeans that give you the lift without even going to the gym. But if I'm trying to be that, if I'm trying to look good, if I'm trying to be proper, if I'm trying to do all this for my man, then I'm not going to appropriately grow this. So that I can deliver my dream. You see, you can't get in the fat, ugly, curvy, swollen, cankled, swollen-cheeked, swollen-wristed position to give birth to your dream if all you're worried about is being pretty and being put together and being perfect. Sometimes we gotta get fat for Jesus and just say, I don't care what it looks like on the journey. Just take me. Let me go. We can't do it the way we did it last year. We can't do it the way we thought. We got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And when we do, Stephen was so powerful that the Sanhedrin didn't want to get. The disciples, they wanted, the big guys, they came after Stephen, not the 12. And then they put him on trial. And while he was on trial, he went through this thing where he does this basically recitation of everything that's been in the Torah, and he relates it back to Jesus, and he gives that Abraham's promise in Acts 7, verse 6. He gives this promise to Abraham as he's orating it. He says, and God spoke with him, he's referring to Abraham, and gave him this promise. Catch this promise. Your descendants will live in a foreign land with people who make slaves of them. They're going to oppress them for 400 years. But I'll judge the nation that enslaves them, and your descendants will be free to return the land and worship me. What? Nobody's cheering. Have you ever had a conversation with God and walked away feeling like you had less than when you started the conversation with God? I mean, he goes on and tells them, the good news is this is going to happen because he's a father. He has no children. He's a childless father. So the good news is he's going to be able to have the child. There's this tribulation that's going to come. They're going to be delivered from the tribulation, but he's going to be a father of many nations. God gives him a covenant and immediately requires a cutting. A lot of times God gives us a promise, but then there's a price. You see, he says, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to give you this, but here's what I'm going to need you to do. I'm going to need you to get circumcised. If you don't know what circumcision is, I'm not going to describe that. You're going to have to Wikipedia it. He's like, you're going to have to get circumcised as an adult male. All your friends are going to have to get circumcised as adult males. All your family's going to have to get circumcised as adult male. When you do have your baby's going to have to get cut. And matter of fact, once your baby gets cut, when he gets a little older, I'm going to ask you to cut him for real. I'm going to ask you to kill him. Dang. What kind of God is that? That's sick. God, how can you give me a promise and then ask me to kill my own promise? I mean, why does God ask us for everything? I mean, he does. He asks for our time. He asks us for our money. He asks us for our relationships. He asks us for our friendships. He asks us for our marriage. He asks us for our kids. He asks us to serve. It's like, hands off of something, right? Something's got to be mine. God wants everything. Well, that's awfully selfish. I don't know. But the only reason he wants it is so that he can take it and bless it and make it better and then give it back to us. The things that aren't blessed in our life are the things we won't give him in the first place. Not every position God asks you to take is going to make you happy. And if they all do, they probably aren't God. But it's when we humble ourselves, when we get in the right position, we get to meet the right people. So it was 2007, and we were head down, building the ministry, had no pastor friends, didn't know where to find pastor friends, didn't have anybody to ask about how to do what we were doing because we didn't have any pastor friends. We were just busy doing it. And we did have like this one pastor friend, and they said, hey, I'm going to speak at this conference. You can come with me, but you can't be with me. I'll probably be in the green room, can't come along. My car's going to be full, so you're going to have to drive yourself. Matter of fact, I don't think you can fit in the pastor session. I think it's sold out. You can probably stand in the back, but if you want to go, you can. Like, is that a compliment or a backslap? Okay. But we decided to go, feeling a little bit like, ooh, I don't know. And somehow we ended up in the green room. There were these people, and we're like, whew, we're like trying to behave ourselves. And it was at Lakewood Church, but it wasn't Lakewood's conference. It was just this outside place who had rented it. And so when we're in there shaking people's hands, all of a sudden there's this tap on the shoulder, and we turn around, and this guy goes, hi, I'm Joel Osteen. And we're like, oh, we like your jokes. Okay. What do you say to Joel Osteen? And look at the timing of God. Look at the timing of God and an invitation we really considered not taking because we didn't want to stand in the back. So look at the timing of God. Joel says, I'm getting ready to have this thing where I have these pastors come in town and we're going to spend a couple days together getting to know each other. Is that something y'all would like to come to? I mean, I know we just met, but would you be interested in that? We're like, heck yeah! Honestly, I thought he was being nice. He was going to like take our address and throw it away before he left the room. But we got the invitation. God is lining you up to give you things that money can't buy. Yeah. Buddy and Debbie Cremine, some of our best friends, we met them there. Sergio and Georgina Della Mora, some of our best friends, pastors, we met them there. Devon Franklin, producer in Hollywood, we met him there. We were involved in the Breakthrough movie a year before it came out. We were just with him in Hollywood working on some other stuff. We met Roma Downey and Mark Burnett, Survivor, Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, The Voice, Shark Tank, that guy. Those people. We met all these people. This is 12 years ago. These are 12-year friends. God made these connections. God gave me my best friend. I didn't know she was my best friend when I met her. Some of you guys know her from the women's conference. Her name's Hope Snyder. Yeah, she's cool, right? But see, the people who don't know her don't know how to love her. So we actually just developed this new segment for the Nicole Crank Show, and Hope's on it. So this is just like 30 seconds long or something. But I wanted you to meet Hope because this is just like a picture of who she is. You got to just see how God good is. Good God is.
Am I ready? I'm a mom, and I'm a wife, and I'm pretty fun. Sometimes. Too many. Nope. Home. Chocolate. Puppies. There's a lot of things that make me smile. Am I supposed to say Jesus? I've already met him. He lives in my heart. Wait a minute. Is this a trick question? What I live by is blessed are the merciful. That makes me cry. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cry. What is wrong with me? If I can give that, I know that's going to come back to me. So I love that. Am I done?
Can you just tell that she is like a barrel of monkeys? I love this girl. I could not pay enough money for that trusted relationship that's outside of my husband. I could call and tell her anything, and she would not report me to the police. That's what God wants to do for us. Even the Nicole Crank show, how did that happen? That happened because David Crank Sr. for years sowed into a ministry for decades. David and I picked it up. We did the same thing, which is really a submitted position. I just wonder what happens when we submit in a position for like years and we don't see anything come out of it. Then eventually, last year, they said, hey, we want to develop some women's programming. Would you do this? Like, me? Like, y'all know that, like, I was given up before I was born, raped, molested. I was pregnant on my mother. You know that, right? Like, I was poor. Like, our new car was sideswiped. You want? Yeah, me? Then we're in L.A. We're meeting with Roma Downey. She's so peaceful and sweet. She has this Irish accent. I don't know if you ever watched Touched by an Angel, but she's like, we're putting this together, this new thing. It's called Light Workers. It's going to bring peace and love to so many people. It's got a Christian bent, a Christian edge, but it's not just a Christian network. It's wholesome entertainment. We have access to the entire MGM library because her husband, Mark Burnett, is the president of MGM. We have access to the whole MGM library. We do want to have about 15 pastors involved, but not too many. We were wondering if you and David would be a part of it. And we saw the Nicole Crank show, and we'd like to feature it. How would you feel about us putting it on the network? God is really working on things for you that are so much bigger than you can even, like, conceive. If you're an intercessor in a bedroom and nobody sees you pray, don't get thrown off that your biggest reward might not come in this little 100-year period we call life. Because this 100 years only counts so much. It's such a blip. But there's this whole million, trillion, billion years called eternity. And when you drive through heaven and you see the really big mansions, it ain't the preachers who got some of the praise of men. Because that detracts from what we get. It's some bedroom praying people, homeless feeding angels, baby nursery loving mamas, that God is going to really say, you thought nobody was looking, but I saw every single thing you did. So before I go, I want you to get in your power position. And you can't be in that until you serve Jesus. It's impossible to be in that power position, sitting on the floor looking like a hot mess. Lead to power relationships, when introduce you to people that make the inconceivable happen. And then you have this powerful life and the Holy Spirit travels on the inside of you and you end up praying for a stroke victim in the gym. I want to let you know I prayed for him this week, and then I went in 2 days later and he looked the same. But I'm praying for him. He's not going to look the same. He's got a secret, somebody. I don't even know his first name. The power is in the position of being submitted to God. So I want to invite you to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. If you've never done it, we're going to do that right now. Or if you got mad at him, you might have even flipped him off. That's okay. I have somebody DMing me on Instagram. I'm going to run late. They're going to be really upset at me at the other campus. But I had this girl DMing me because she got an abortion. And she can't figure out how God could forgive her. What I can't figure out is, how do I make her understand his fathomless grace? Because that's my job. Help her understand. Help you understand. There's a lyric in a Hillsong song. It says, I was found before I was lost. I was born lost. My daddy didn't even want me. That means before he created you, he knew you, he knew your mistakes, he knew your heartaches, and he said, I don't care, I need them, and I'm going to die for every one of those things before you were ever born. So what do we do now?
We got to line up.
We got to get in position. We got to bring revival to our city. We got to give him something to work with so he can bless it. So if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you have and you walked away, but it's today. We're coming back today. Assume this power position with me right now. Raise your hand. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my friends. God, we are sorry. Oh, man, for all the things we have done. But right now we proclaim you as Lord and Savior of your life. Say these words with me. Say, dear God, I need you to lead my life. I'm desperate. I'm ashamed. Help me. You never fail. You never leave me. You have been waiting eternity for this moment. I'm coming home. I'm serving you. I love you. Thank you for letting me be your child. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's worship God.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.